Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Only in South Carolina can fans make a big enough deal about the backup quarterback hierarchy that it turns into basically the entirety of this program today. Willie P and Diesel here with you on Straight Up with Sturge, ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app. Telephone number to get in, 1 hour to play, 844-GSP-ESPN is how you get in touch with us, 71307 on the text line. Start your message with ESPN and be a part of the program that way. We'll talk Clemson football with Matt Connolly, who was at Clemson's final open practice, or at least final viewable practice, to the media. Coming your way at about 17 minutes from now is when he will join us. We'll also get to some more of your thoughts on the big decision today that came from Will Muschamp's mouth, really to the mouth of the players who needed to know the news most. But then, of course, it went to the former high school coach of the Carrion Joyner, and that news was that Joyner, the former Mr. Football in the state of South Carolina, will play not second fiddle but third fiddle to starting quarterback Jake Bentley to begin the 2019 campaign, and that Ryan Helinski, the true freshman out of Bellflower, California, will be South Carolina's backup quarterback, and by many accounts, as a result of that naming, the potential heir apparent for the starting job in 2020. South Carolina offensive coordinator Brian McClendon meeting with the media presently, or at least a couple of minutes ago, saying the following about DeCarrion Joyner's being named the backup. He said that a lot of stuff factored in. I know nothing is definitely final. It's a long season. He said that Joyner wants to help the team in any way he can. There's no question he can help this season, even if it's not at quarterback. So maybe there's some openness from DK to maybe being a part of the team in a way that doesn't necessarily involve the quarterback. But I also believe that people are unfairly painting Joyner out to be this pariah or this person that has drawn a hard line unfairly. I mean, I don't. You're putting a lot of unfair criticism and pressure on the kid, in my mind. It's almost as if hearing from South Carolina fans today, they would rather Joyner transfer and have success elsewhere just so they could throw it in Will Muschamp's face. There's division and derision among this fan base right now, and I don't necessarily think it's good for the overall health of the program. And not only that, but if Ryan Helinski fails, that's not a referendum on Muschamp. It's a referendum on Helinski. And if DeCarrion Joyner stays at quarterback and doesn't play a significant snap for South Carolina at that position, it's not a failure. Means the guy in front of him, and means that they chose right. If you're a South Carolina fan, wouldn't you rather Will Muschamp do what he feels is best for the program and not best for necessarily the in-state high school coaches and curry favor to them? What if let's suppose Will Muschamp says, you know what? I'm going to curry favor to the coaches in this state and name DeCarrion Joyner the starting quarterback to begin the 2020 season. And he comes out and he looks like garbage. Does that make you feel good as a South Carolina fan? Well, at least he went with him. At least we saw it. It doesn't sound like it makes a lot of sense. I said it earlier, and I'll say it again. The kid from California is better than the kid from South Carolina. And for some reason, people are irrationally bent on that. And I don't understand why. Of course, Dan Werner said this about Helinski earlier in camp, saying that he had taken significant steps since we last saw him in the spring.
I think he's come along great, you know, for a guy that just stepped on campus, whatever, less than a year ago, and, you know, in there battling, I'm proud of him. I think it's just anytime you go to college, you have to worry about, instead of probably in high school, you have a couple different things to think about. In college, we're going to have protections, and all of our runs have something outside of actually just handing it off, all the different reads. So it's just a lot of different things that, that he's got to grasp. But they all do. I mean, they're all having to do the same thing. And a lot of the stuff that we do now are not things that they did, whatever, 2 years ago. So we're all still learning. I think the fact that, first of all, he's changed his body, you know, coming out of high school, probably didn't lift a whole lot compared to what he's doing here. And so he's lost weight and actually gained a lot of muscle mass. So that's the first thing. Just football-wise, you can just tell he's got a much better grasp, obviously. I mean, he knows it inside and out, just like the other guys do. And now it's a matter of translating. It's always for a younger guy, translate from the meeting room to the field. And I've been, like I said, I've been really pleased with how that's happened.
Listen to how Dan Werner talked about Helinski there, and then juxtapose it with the way that he talks about Kerryon Joyner here.
You know, his throwing has gotten a lot better, I think. His accuracy is something he's worked really hard on. Again, after spring, we talked about all the different things that each guy had to do individually, and like I said, they all have done exactly what I've asked. I think it was more just him really working on it a lot. You know, we have drills that we do that just working on his accuracy. We throw into nets. When you've been out there, you see the squares. And instead of, like when I was a younger coach, we would just throw it to the manager. Well, one ball would hit right here and one would hit right here. In their mind, yeah, I completed that. Well, now every single time he throws a ball, it has to hit in that square. If it misses by that much, he's concentrating on it and thinking, okay, I've got to get better. He's a quarterback in my mind, and if you know, coach decides we've got another plan for whatever reason, whatever, I don't know. But in my mind, he's a quarterback.
You're a very, Diesel, you're a very observant person when it comes to observing tone and the way people sound. Does Dan Werner sound more excited about the first clip or more excited about the guy talking about in the second clip?
Well, the first clip, of course, he's talking about growth and he's talking about improvement. In the second clip, he's talking about work.
Sounds to me like if we just knew how to discern tone, we would have known that this was a decision all along. There's more pep in the step when Dan Werner talks about Ryan Helinski as opposed to talking about Kerryon Joyner. And while we don't have it ready for you to play, the way he talks about Ryan Helinski is the same way he talks about Jake Bentley. Kerryon Joyner at quarterback is a project. Ryan Helinski at quarterback is a future. Ryan Helinski is a Fortune 500 company. Kerryon Joyner is a startup, small business. That's not necessarily telling you that you can't have success with Kerryon Joyner. It's not saying that Kerryon Joyner can't make money when it comes to a buy and sell ledger. But they see the future with Ryan Helinski. It's harder to see that with Kerryon Joyner, at least at the quarterback position. And while that might hurt a lot of people's feelings here in this state, I think it's the best opportunity and the best thing for the South Carolina football team in the future. Colin Taylor of Gamecock Central joined us on the program earlier today when we were reacting to this decision. I asked him if he was surprised about this particular decision. He said he was not.
I think that if you had gone to a South Carolina fan 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago when camp was starting and told him Ryan Helinski was going to be your number two, they'd be like, well, that makes a lot of sense. You know, he's an Elite 11 guy. I think people weren't maybe ready for it. The timing probably caught him off guard a little bit, but I mean, you're starting to get into prep now. Season's only 11 days away. So I don't know. I think this was kind of expected from South Carolina's end. I think it's weird seeing him at the three for a lot of people, but like I said, if you told people probably a month ago that, hey, Ryan Helinski is going to be your number two, then people would have probably signed up for it and expected it.
That is Colin Taylor. Gamecock Central. He missed the whole thing. You can hear it back after the show. Radio.com app is how you'll get in touch with that. Or, of course, at ESPNUpstate.com. Just click on the podcast link and head to the Straight Up with Sturge page. Why is it so hard for people to accept the fact that a quarterback who's an Elite 11 recruit out of California beat out a guy who has to his name Mr. Football in the state of South Carolina. Well, why is that difficult for people to grasp?
Shouldn't be.
I think anybody who has a smart eye, I mean, the most coveted football producing states are California, Georgia, Texas, and Florida. Those four, I would say. And I would take the best out of any of those four states probably 9 times out of 10 over the best that's in front of you. And it's, again, it's not like that Helsinki is a castaway. Like I've always said, you know, I'd rather take the castaways of what Georgia and Florida and even states like Alabama that have a lot of football talent, maybe the D.C. area, Texas. I'd take the cast-offs of those states and try to win with those guys versus the people who you have right in front of you that might represent a bit of a bedrock for you, but I'd also rather develop the guys, again, who are in more of those football-rich states. Ryan Helsinki isn't necessarily a castaway. Ryan Helsinki is somebody who was coveted by a lot of people. And again, we're talking about the backup quarterback in 2019, not the starter. North Carolina is going to start a true freshman in Sam Howell. West Virginia is going to start a graduate transfer from Oklahoma. Illinois is going to start a transfer from Michigan. And all these particular situations reinforce what I said earlier in the program. What's new and interesting is winning out over what is in front of you. New and interesting is where South Carolina is going. South Carolina is going into the rooms of recruits that are more nationally known, nationally recognized, and nationally renowned. It's not about recruiting just the Mr. Football in the state of South Carolina and guys who are going to play in the Shrine Bowl and the North-South game. They're moving beyond that. That's how you get to be where Clemson is. Dabo Swinney was asked about in-state recruiting last year on National Signing Day, and he said, basically without saying it, that it was a weak year in the state for players. And really the only player of consequence that they took from the state was a guy whose defensive coordinator was his kid, Jake Venables. That and Mikey Dukes. Those are the only two guys who really were of consequence in Clemson's recruiting class in state. Not to say that and that was a recruiting class too that up until this particular recruiting class, probably one of the best ones that they've signed. It was the first full class that they had signed in a while. Look at the names on this class. Andrew Booth, Lawrenceville, Georgia, Frank Ladson, Florida. Joseph Ngata, California, Joseph Charleston, Alpharetta, Georgia, Apopka, Florida, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Connecticut, Naples, Birmingham, Riverdale. Do you see Latta anywhere on that list? Do you see Saluda anywhere on that list? Here's one from Swansea. Three-star kid Gregory Williams. He ain't playing this year. Newsflash. Unless they run into a lot of injuries. Mikey Dukes, you got to go all the way down to Mikey Dukes. And then Jake Venables. The year before. Outside of that, really not that many people. And that's fine. That's okay. It's all good. And because of that, that is where you have to live if you're South Carolina. 844-GSP ESPN is the phone number. At ESPN Upstate on Twitter, at Willie P. Style, and at Diesel on Radio. We'll talk Clemson football next with Matt Connolly of the state newspaper. The Planet tight end seems to be involving a walk-on, a freshman, and an unknown. I'll ask Matty Connolly where he thinks that position could sit, and also what the plan could be for them in the secondary if they have to go without Darion Kendrick in week one. ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is ESPN Upstate, straight up with Sturge. Willie P. and Diesel back here with you as we continue on a Tuesday. And it is a CNC Tuesday, so we now have the other half of the CNC connection, my good friend Matt Connolly of the state newspaper, Clemson football beat writer, joining us. He was at Clemson's final visible practice that we get to see as media members until the college football playoff, we should say, right, Matt? Because that's the next time we'll at least get to see Clemson in practice form.
Yeah, it'll be a while for sure. Probably before the playoff, if they end up making it again. So, yeah, this would be the last one for a while for sure.
Anything in particular other than particularly great stretching form stand out to you?
Not a ton. I guess just still some injuries, some guys still banged up. Darian Kendrick, a cornerback, was in a green jersey, so he's still trying to battle his way back. Cornell Powell was a new addition at receiver. He was in a green jersey as well. So that's a little contact, but still not full go. So I'm sure, you know, Darian missed most of the past last 2 weeks of camp, and I know he's a guy that they're going to count on this year to be a starting cornerback and be a big part of that defense. So I'm sure they would have liked to have had him the last couple of weeks, especially with them kind of making the position change and everything. But that was about it as far as notable things. I guess Joseph McGott as well, working with the first team. Justin Ross, for whatever reason, didn't go through the hurry-up portion of the drill that we saw. So I don't think there's anything there. I mean, they may have just been giving Ngata some extra work or whatever, but that as well, just Ngata, how well he looks and kind of he continued his strong fall camp that he's had.
Among the injuries currently on Clemson, I mean, again, we've heard about how banged up they are over the past couple of weeks. Which one do you think has the biggest impact on next Thursday's opener against Georgia Tech?
That's a good question. I don't think any are huge right now. I mean, Frank Ladson was the guy that they were that was going to play right away as a freshman this year. He's a receiver they're really excited about. He definitely would have played some of the opener, and he's kind of iffy right now. And then Davis Allen at tight end is another guy who had a really good summer despite just being a first-year guy just arriving in the summer. He was a guy they feel like is ready to help them and would have played probably at least decent role in the opener as well if he wasn't banged up. But both of those guys have been out for a while now. And Allen, for sure, I don't think will play in the opener. And Gladson's kind of right there as a maybe. So those two are about the only two guys that are really on the 2D that it seems like could miss the opener at this point.
Since it seems like Ross, Higgins, and Ngata are kind of similar in build, stature, and skill set, are you thinking that they'll probably mix and match those three at the outside boundary positions with guys like Powell and DeAndre Overton kind of playing more of that slot position?
Yeah, that's how it seems right now. I mean, and Overton's another guy who's built similarly, but at the same time, they like kind of the versatility and being able to have those three bigger receivers. So, Nui Ngata, T, and Justin have all been working at both outside spots. And I think, you know, they're all capable of moving around some. And you know, I wouldn't be surprised as the season goes along if they move Ngata some as well. I think by the end of the year, those could be the three most talented receivers on the team. So I wouldn't be surprised if they end up trying to get all three of those guys on the field at the same time before the season's over with.
I know that we've seen a lot of the impact of Tavian Feaster's transfer at South Carolina be talked about. The impact at Clemson, I would say, is minimal because more carries for Travis Etienne and Lindae Dixon isn't a bad thing. But for a guy like Mikey Dukes, I think he has to be licking his chops because while Darian Wrench is sitting there at third team, I think Dukes could maybe rise up by the end of the year and if not play in the four games that are required for that redshirt, maybe even have his redshirt taken off. How do you feel?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he loses his redshirt, particularly with his skill set out of the backfield catching the ball. You know, Tony Elliott said he catches the ball as well as any running back that he's had, which is pretty high praise when you look at some of the guys that they've had come through here. He's had a lot of really good running backs during his time at Clemson, so I wouldn't be surprised at all if he has his redshirt pulled. You know, for now, I mean, it is minimal impact overall, but, man, if you get Travis or Lindae banged up, you know, it could not having Feaster could end up being, you know, a guy that you're going to miss some when you're talking about having to go from Travis to Lindae to former walk-on, and Darian Richard, who is a solid player. You know, he gets the job done. He knows his assignments. He knows where he's supposed to be in pass protection and that kind of stuff. But there's still a pretty large drop-off from Feaster to Rencher or from Lindsay to Rencher with Feaster going down.
Matt Connolly of the State Newspaper talking Clemson football with us here on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app. Is it just me, or is Xavier Thomas, he's still on the team, right? Because I feel like I've heard absolutely nothing about him in this fall.
Well, follow the national sites. He's on a ton of preseason All-American teams and top 25 player lists and that kind of stuff. I think he's a really good player. I'm not sure that he's ready to maybe be first-team All-American like he's kind of being slated to be at this point. You know, I think as the year goes along, if he gets some more reps and that kind of stuff, he has a chance to maybe reach that level this year. But certainly nationally, he gets a ton of buzz. Locally, I think the coaching staff is just kind of – you know, not ready to say, hey, he's a guy, he's kind of our guy, defensive end, or one of our two guys. I mean, there's still a battle going on there. I think he'll play a ton. He'll probably run out there with a first-team defense would be my guess for the Georgia Tech game. But, you know, I don't think that he's necessarily established himself as kind of the alpha dog on that defense yet. I still think that's kind of a work in progress and something that'll maybe take place over the course of the season.
What do you think? I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily a physical thing, but what do you think is inhibiting him from being that alpha dog?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I think some of it is just going out, getting experience. I mean, he's still a guy going into his second year in the program. So just playing more, getting used to being that every down player. And then, you know, Lemansky Hall, the defensive ends coach, was very open going into the season about what they wanted to see from Xavier and how, you know, they know he can get after the quarterback and he can pass rush. And when it's third and long, he can go in there and say, hey, go get the quarterback. But as far as being a guy that's ready to play every down, stop the run, you know his assignment exactly, play exactly where he's supposed to be, fit his gaps to where he's supposed to go, I think that's still kind of something that he's still working on. So I think it's just showing that he can be that every down player and not just a guy that goes in, gets out after the quarterback and puts up sacks.
Matty, you mentioned the injuries to Kendrick and even Mario Goodrich was in green today. You know, that makes me worry a little bit about where things are at the corner spot that's opposite A.J. Terrell. We know we've seen Denzel Johnson kind of line up out there, and we've seen some from Booth, and I even, you know, heard mentioned Sheridan Jones possibly put out at that particular position. Is that a point of concern if either Kendrick or Goodrich is unavailable come a week from Thursday?
Yeah, I mean, Dabo feels good about the depth that they have at cornerback. You know, I think it could be a bit of a concern. You know, talking about Sheridan Jones, it sounds like he's been repping some with the first team. It was with the first team at the scrimmage last week, A.J. Terrell said. So, you know, you're talking about a young guy who's kind of just getting his feet wet, throwing him out there. You know, if the injuries linger and you're talking about playing him against Texas A&M and week two and Kellen Mond and that offense, that could be a concern for sure. So I think they definitely need to get healthy there. Like I said, Kendrick was in green. They felt like, you know, he was right there. But Dabo's been saying for more than a week now that they feel like Kendrick's about ready to come back on the field. So I think they'll certainly feel a lot better when he's healthy and ready to go back out there. But Booth, I mean, I think, you know, everything we've heard about Booth throughout camp is that he has a chance to be a star down the road. He's just very professional with his work ethic, goes about his business, you know, knows what he's supposed to be doing, knows where he's supposed to be. Big physical corner, yeah, seeing him and Justin Ross go at it a little bit. The W drill, blocking drill earlier during fall camp was interesting, and it appeared that both of those guys really respect each other. I think he's really come in and earned the respect of his teammates. So cornerbacks, other cornerbacks and several receivers have been complimentary of him. So I think he's definitely a guy that'll help this year and has a really bright future.
I know that basically the first group looks like, you know, Rudolph, Pinckney, Williams, and Foster across the defensive line. But we've heard a lot about the up-and-comers, especially the freshmen. You think about Davis, you think about Rook. Where do you think Davis and Rook, do you think either of those guys are candidates kind of like Mikey Dukes to have their red shirts pulled if needed?
Yeah, I think both of those guys will definitely play this year. Tyler in particular, Dabo said the other day, he's as good as anybody that we've got at defensive tackle. So I think he's kind of 1B as far as defensive tackle, to where he could be a guy who's playing early and often and possibly even earning a starting job before the season's over with. He was the talk of spring during the spring, and obviously he's continued to be the talk of fall camp as well. So Tyler Davis is the guy they're really excited about at defensive tackle, and I think, you know, for sure he'll play this year.
How do you prepare for this team that they face a week from Thursday? Because it's a brand-new offensive scheme, brand-new head coach. You don't know really what you're going off of. You obviously have to watch more Temple film than you do Georgia Tech film, because I feel like the first half might be a little awkward for them, at least, because it seems like you really don't know what you're going to see on Thursday night.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's, you know, you're watching Temple film to kind of see what Jeff Collins wants to do and how he runs his team and his offense and defense and that kind of stuff. And then you're watching old Tech film just to try to get a personnel who can do what, and trying to see exactly the strengths and weaknesses as far as player ability. So I'm sure they've had their hands full trying to break all of that down. But, you know, they've got a huge staff over there that puts all that tape together and kind of goes through scouting reports and everything. And, you know, I'm sure they've been doing that for a while now. That's a bit of fit of playing, checking the openers that you've had all summer to kind of go over all that stuff. So don't think that's a huge issue. And then I think, you know, just talent-wise, the talent that Clemson has compared to the talent that Georgia Tech has, I don't think it'll be a huge issue. I expect Clemson to have a pretty easy time with Tech, I guess, in about a week or so.
I know that South Carolina's quarterback room from the outside looking in can be looked at as maybe awkward. Are we looking at a similar situation developing at Clemson 2 years from now when you have Pumachan, Bryce, and DJU in the fold?
Yeah, I don't know about awkward. I just don't know that all those guys will end up sticking around. You know, I mean, we've already seen however many quarterbacks transfer from Clemson since Trevor Lawrence has been on campus, and, you know, I think I wouldn't be surprised if that kind of continues. I mean, anytime you're signing five-star quarterbacks, high four-star quarterbacks every year, you're going to have some turnover. That's just the way it is. And so, you know, I think guys want to play. They want to at least have an opportunity to play. And if they're not getting that opportunity, they'll go elsewhere. So I don't know that it'll be awkward. I mean, Chase is a guy that, you know, in a couple of years will graduate and have a chance to leave if he doesn't end up earning the starting job. I do think he has a really good chance to start before his time's up at Clemson. You know, I think those other two guys, the younger guys, I think it'll just be interesting to see how kind of that all plays out. We'll have to see when DJU gets here. You know, he's got tons of hype and is a top quarterback in the country, but still have to live up to it when he gets here. So I think there's still a long ways to go before you start worrying about kind of quarterback in the controversy or controversy in the quarterback room and that kind of stuff.
By the way, I just want to be sure that I get credit for when people start saying DJU instead of his whole name, that was me who said it first. So,
yeah, I'll go along with it. I'm fine not trying to pronounce that name every time.
Uyangalela or whatever.
Close enough.
We got one of these left before we actually kick it off for real. Matty, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
That's Matty Connolly of Matt at the State on Twitter on ESPN Upstate. Do you like that for DJ Uyangalela? As DJU?
Yeah, it makes Tua Tagovailoa seem easy.
Makes it look like Pelagic or Smith, which are one and the same. This story that we brought you earlier from Tennessee has brought about a little bit of a reaction, and I want to ask the question again, what this gentleman is asking for. Is he crazy? Is he presumptuous? Is he creepy? Or is he a genius? If you haven't heard this from earlier in the program, you have to stick around because it's a doozy. I think it's being upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
One more note that didn't fit in the comments from Brian McClendon about South Carolina offense. Again, we'll try to bring you some of those from both coordinators and their only media opportunity to speak with the South Carolina media, both Tavarius Robinson on the defensive side, Brian McClendon on the offensive side. Brian McClendon said it's conceivable that Tavian Feaster might start week one. McClendon says he's really good in space, really natural receiving ability, and extremely smart. He's picked things up quickly and worked hard to get there. So there you go. Wouldn't be terrible in my mind. Wouldn't be terrible in my mind if he started. Just saying. Wouldn't necessarily hurt my feelings if he started. Because, again, I believe his presence legitimizes the backfield for South Carolina and legitimizes their run game.
Would it hurt a lot of people's feelings if he wasn't from South Carolina? If he was an out-of-stater?
You're so bad.
Supplanting?
So bad. Rico Dowdle isn't even from South Carolina, I don't think. He is from Florida? Question mark? No, North Carolina. Rico Dowdle's from North Carolina, Asheville, North Carolina.
Oh, so this is the reverse. This is a new guy coming from your rival, supplanting the incumbent who's not from South Carolina. Ooh.
Newsflash.
Are Gamecock fans' heads exploding right now?
Mm. Matt Connolly literally just texted me Asheville. So, thanks for listening, Matty C. That's fine. That's totally fine. I'm not saying that it makes a whole difference, and I'm not trying to re-adjudicate this whole argument, but, like, there needs to be a little bit of trust placed in these coaches a little bit, one would say. I'm not blind trust the coach guy usually, but when it comes to what we're hearing and what I've been told and what I've been told by people outside of the coaching staff who observe, when that aligns with the decision that the coaching staff makes, that to me is okay with me. Now, when what I either see with my eyes or have been told from insiders doesn't jive with the coaching staff's decision, then I got a problem. But again, that's why I sit where I do on this issue. Okay, I want to get back to this Tennessee story. So you brought this to the fold. I don't know where you found this, by the way. This is very, very good stuff. Do you want me to read the whole thing again?
Please do.
So this looks like a Craigslist ad.
That's correct.
This is it's titled Tennessee Football, Female to Accompany. This may seem like a crazy notion, but here it goes. Female responses only. My girlfriend broke up with me a couple of weeks ago, and I find myself with an extra ticket to each University of Tennessee football game. Not looking for a relationship, merely a lady who would be interested in accompanying me to a game or two. The group that I tailgate with are all couples, ages 40s to 60s, must behave in a respectable manner, no drunks, drugs, or vulgarity, must be willing to tailgate for most of the day and evening. I have one and only one parking pass. I arrive early and I stay late, playing on 6 to 8 hours a day. You must be a Vols fan. Sorry I'm not wanting to sit beside a gator, dog, cat, or door. If you have a favorite tailgate dish you wish to share, bonus points. I'm open to having different person each game, or if we're mutually compatible, then maybe most or all games to the same person. Ask also that you be willing to pay face value for the ticket. That applies for both Georgia and Georgia State. You can't lowball the best games and expect the lesser games to be near free. Would like to chat and meet prior to going to any specific game. Tell me why I should pick you. There's a lot to unpack here.
I'm betting he's getting maybe three responses.
Could this be a catfish situation where you said, is he asking for pictures situation?
Who asks in this situation for the person to pay for the ticket? Why not just sell the ticket?
Newsflash, by the way, their home schedule this year is garbage. They have Georgia State, BYU, and Chattanooga.
BYU's not bad.
Seriously?
I mean, it's not bad at BYU.
It's an independent, okay?
Okay.
It's not an independent like Notre Dame, it's an independent. It's a GDI, okay? BYU is a GDI. You know what that means? Do you know what GDI means?
I means independent.
Yes, okay. Yes. They didn't have that term at App State?
No. But would Liberty be considered a GDI?
Yes, very much so. Is what they called the non-fraternity members where I went to school. You were a GDI if you were not in a fraternity or a sorority.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Apparently, maybe that's just a Mizzou thing. I don't know. BYU, 7-6, by the way, a year ago.
Okay, so it's not as good as I thought it was.
I didn't think they were that good. 7-6 a year ago, 4-8 the year before that. You're living off that 2015 and 16 BYU team.
They've got some rep. I'm not saying they had a great 2018.
Kalani Sitake, the head coach at BYU. But yeah, Georgia State, BYU, Chattanooga, Georgia, Mississippi State, South Carolina, UAB, Vanderbilt. Man, that is a dog set of a schedule when Georgia and South Carolina are your two best home games. I don't know if you could pay me to go to see that schedule on a daily basis. That's a terrible home schedule, man.
If this guy really needs somebody to fill the ticket, he's wanting to make sure the person who's going to sit next to them at the game is going to be all right.
No, I think this is more about the tailgate. I think this is more about impressing his friends at the tailgate. Is this person crazy or creepy or genius? That's what I want to know. 844-GSP-ESPN. Would you accept a similar offer if you were a South Carolina fan or a Clemson fan?
If we're talking about free tickets, that's a better
question. No, it's not
question.
Free.
He wants face value.
He's asking for somebody to take over his, what looks to be ex's season ticket. It was a girlfriend.
Dude, you offer the ticket for free, and then maybe you get something on the back end.
If I'm this guy, I'm thinking I probably have to give the first three games for free.
He must think
the world of Tennessee football. I don't know, man. Plus, if you're this guy and you have season tickets to Tennessee football, how bad is your street cred that you're seeking out a person on Craigslist to try and find this out? Am I wrong? I mean, how bad is your game that you can't find somebody as somebody in a position to buy Tennessee season tickets? Because I'm guaranteeing you, these probably are not cheap. That you have to go and solicit somebody on Craigslist. This could be a situation where Ryan Gosling looks more like Clem, and I'm not talking about Clem's son. I'm talking about Clem's son, Little John. What we left on the cutting room floor when we come back on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app. Texter from 71307 texts in, I don't know where I'll need the blindfold more. At the tailgate looking at a guy who is offering season tickets on Craigslist or watching Tennessee football in the stands.
Oh.
Hashtag hard pass. That is from a texter in the 864 at 71307. There must be some sort of season ticket waiting list at Tennessee. I wonder how legit that waiting list is compared to the one that was the Redskins season ticket waiting list for the longest time. We were when we first moved to D.C., we were clowned to be put on that season ticket waiting list that we came to find out was a bunch of garbage once they found out that nobody actually goes to the games in Washington, D.C. anymore. So, again, the person who is saying on Craigslist, by the way, the person is offering the opportunity for you to purchase a face value season ticket to sit next to this person. I don't know, man. It seems shady to me. Incredibly shady to me. But will, alas and alack.
He should have also put in the article, will not steal your kidneys.
Will not steal your kidneys. What was left on the cutting room floor? So the Sun Bowl now has a new sponsor. It is called the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl.
Oh, my God.
Let me put you this way. I've been to the Sun Bowl, and it was anything less than great. Just telling you. El Paso, Texas. Not what I would consider to be a good time.
Do you remember that scene in Wayne's World where they got the money and they got the green screen and they could be magically whisked away to all these beautiful places, and then all of a sudden they're whisked away to Delaware?
Yes. That's so how El Paso.
Now we're in Delaware. That's exactly what El Paso is.
That's exactly what El Paso, Texas sounds like. Although Delaware is an awesome vacation spot for many people in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. Rehoboth Beach is a very, very awesome vacation spot for a lot of people. Never been there, but I hear good things. I hear better things about Rehoboth Beach than I hear about El Paso, Texas. Too soon. Also, missed sponsorship opportunity. I'm surprised that we haven't had a plumber or somebody like Drano ever try to sponsor a bowl and actually trying to finally call it a toilet bowl. Like, why have we not had that at this point? Are we not at least close to an actual toilet bowl happening?
That should be the matchup. It should be the floating sponsor for whatever is the worst matchup you can possibly
find. Don't say floating involving the toilet bowl. Oh. Phrasing, Diesel. Phrasing.
That was an accidental pun, and it was a good one.
That was. Don't say accident involving the toilet bowl.
It's the crappiest game on TV.
It certainly is. Oh, I could have said
this game stinks.
Exactly. By the way, you remember the Alabama fan who poisoned the trees at Toomer's Corner 6 years ago, Harvey Updike?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently has not made his court-ordered payments.
Really?
He's being summoned back to court to address the matter. He's paid less than $5,000, and he's often been missing a monthly payment period, which started at $500 a month, but were lowered to accommodate his financial situation, a.k.a. he doesn't have any.
Are you surprised that the guy who would poison trees doesn't have any money?
I mean, he does have does he have a degree from Alabama or no? 70-year-old Updike was given a 3-year split sentence with 5 years probation. His probation has ended, and now the former Texas trooper now lives in Louisiana. He posted a Facebook video recently saying his monthly rent was going up almost $200, and apparently his payments have not been made to at least settle the restitution involving his burning down of Toomer's Corner. Is it bad that I find his burning of Toomer's Corner not too terrible, or not as terrible as everybody thought it was? Does that make me a bad person?
A little bit. I mean, they're big, beautiful trees.
It'll never get me invited back to Auburn, Alabama. I'll tell you that right now. Am I more welcome, Auburn, Alabama, or Charlottesville, Virginia?
It's one of I don't understand, you know, celebrating by vandalizing part of your town.
TPing the town?
Yeah.
Coming up tomorrow on the program, we will talk to Taj Boyd, former Clemson quarterback, at 4:21. I'm working on a South Carolina quarterback to match. I need one of two of the South Carolina quarterbacks formerly that I've contacted to text me back. That is my plea to you. It's very embarrassing that it has come to this level. But if you happen to play quarterback for South Carolina, please text me back. And I've texted you. Does that make me a bad person for soliciting it in that manner?
You're definitely begging.
It's okay. We will press on regardless of such transgressions being needed. For Diesel, I'm Willie P. And for the still recovering Mark Sturgis, we say so long, South Carolina.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.